The title today is God Sends Forth His Son. It is based on Galatians 4, and I'll go ahead and read that. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. Let's pray together and ask God to bless the message today. Lord, thank you for bringing our folks out. And I know of others who have texted me or contacted me, and they're at home watching today. We just pray you'd bless them as well. Give us a great week as we reflect on the goodness of God during this Christmas season. And Lord, bring us back together on Wednesday and then next Sunday for the big celebration. And Lord, we're just thankful for our church, thankful for your many blessings. Now direct us to your word. And Lord, thank you for sending your Son from heaven for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's a gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's called the silent years, about 400 years. See, after Malachi spoke, that's the last book of the Old Testament, heaven went silent. Station WGOD went off the air. How many still listen to the radio? Did you get that? Okay. Station WGOD went off the air. There was no broadcasting for, like I said, 400 years. Now, when the New Testament opens, a new power, Rome, is the world ruler. See, after the Babylonian captivity, the Israelites turned from idolatry to frantic striving for legal holiness. The law became an idol to them. Synagogues came into existence. They became the center of life in Judea and everywhere else the Israelites were or went into the world. Spiritual leaders were shackled by tradition and corruption. Their king, Herod, was a tyrant. So Rome was in power. But I've said this before, who was really in charge? Doesn't matter who's in charge down on the earth, God is ultimately in charge. So that was what was going on during this time frame. But it was evident through this silent time that God was preparing the world for the coming Christ. And that's why I use Galatians 4:4 as my opening verse. But when the fullness of time was come, it was right on his time schedule. By the way, he's never in a hurry. He's always right on time. And so now is the fullness of time. God is going to send forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that are under the law. Again, they had come to the place where they were so zealous about the law, they became very legalistic. And boy, we needed some grace back then. Aren't you thankful for grace now? Amen. We don't live under the law. We don't have a bunch of rules and regulations we have to follow. We're led by the Spirit, and we live under grace. Well, the time had finally come. God was ready to do what he had first promised all the way back in the garden. The first mention of a Messiah coming, a Savior coming, was mentioned in Genesis 3:15. So go all the way back there, and now this promise is going to be fulfilled. Malachi tells us, though, before the deliverer comes, I'm going to send you another prophet. His ministry is to prepare the people so that they would be ready for the coming Savior. He was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. Let's look in Luke 1, verse 6. This story, of course, by the way, aren't you glad no matter how dark the day, God always has his devoted and obedient people? I'm glad there's still a remnant left on the earth that love Jesus. They're obedient to him. They're devoted to him, even in these dark days. Well, I'm going to give you an example of two that were very devoted to Jesus, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Look at verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. Everybody in Luke chapter 1, follow along with me in your Bibles. We don't have anything on the screen today for the message. So follow along in your Bibles. Luke 1:6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Boy, I tell you, where it says righteous, that just means they recognized that they were sinners. But they trusted in God. They believed His word. They offered sacrifices in the temple, just like Moses did in the tabernacle. Now, they came to God the way that He told them to. And so God accepted them, just like He accepted Abel from the very beginning, just like He accepted Abraham and many, many others for centuries to come. So you see them faithful in their spot. These are righteous people, blameless. Look at verse 7. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. In other words, Zacharias and Elizabeth were old. They had never been able to have children. Now it's much easier to just quit on God, run away from Him, run away from our problems. But you know what they did? They took it to God. They didn't run from their problems. They accepted it, but they ran to God. Now remember, back in those days, the Jewish rabbis insisted that if you could not have children, that was an evidence of divine disfavor. Well, let me just tell you, that is not true. God has a plan for everyone, and it's not His plan for everyone to have children. So they had that wrong, but they even went so far, and the Jewish rabbis would push that many men would end up divorcing their wives if they could not have children. Terrible thing. Well, that's not what Zechariah did. He stayed true to Elizabeth, but you know what he did? He prayed to God, and that made all the difference. Look at verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Now, Zacharias was one of the priests in the temple in Jerusalem. He belonged to the tribe of Levi. Listen to what happened to Zacharias while he's doing his thing, doing his work as a priest. Look at verse 11 and 12. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. What would you do if you saw an angel? Huh? I think you'd be fearful and troubled as well. I think our reaction would be about the same. All right, look at verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be, thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." So Zacharias was praying for a son. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Well, because the angel said, "Thy prayer is heard." Their son, John, was to be a Nazarite. One of the things that the Nazarite vowed was that he would not drink strong drink or wine. He was to find his joy in the Holy Spirit and find his joy in God. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Hey, we don't need to get our joy from a bottle. We need to get our joy from God. Amen? And be led by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who can give us strength to face life and whatever this life brings. So that's what that's talking about there. He was going to take that Nazarite vow that John the Baptist was. Look at verse 16. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." That was his job. "And he shall go after him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." See, although John the Baptist went forth in the spirit and power of Elijah, he was not Elijah, but he would be greatly used of God to make ready the people. Now look at verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Y'all, here's Zacharias praying for a son at the altar of incense. I'm sure he's praying out and shouting out, "Oh God, give me a son." Now when God says through the angel, "Hey, I'm going to give you a son," Zacharias says, wait, how can I know for sure? How many times have you done that? You've been praying, and then when God answers, you're like, "Wow, I sure didn't expect that." Well, you've been praying about it. My wife's old and I'm old. That's what he tells the angel. "I don't think we can have a child." Well, I tell you, there's been times I've prayed like that. I've asked God for something, but I don't really believe it's going to happen. How many times have we done that as a church or in our own families? "Well, we've never done it that way before," or "that just won't happen. No way God could do that here at our church or in my house or in my home." You know, that's one of the reasons we don't receive answers to prayers. We just don't have faith like we ought to. So I see that on Zacharias' part. By the way, Zacharias is human, just like you and me. And we don't always pray with faith. Look at verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these good or glad tidings." I'm telling you, he's saying, you know, "I'm for real. I am an angel of the Lord. My name's Gabriel. And you better believe what I'm telling you." Look at verse 20. "And behold, since you didn't believe, since you had doubt, thou shalt be dumb." Now that means he's not going to be able to speak. He's going to be mute until the day that these things shall be performed. "Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Zacharias would not be able to talk. Somebody said it this way: one without faith should be silent. That's pretty good, isn't it? If you don't have faith, just keep your mouth shut, all right? But then he goes on to say, "Let the man speak who believes in God and has something to say." How many believe in God? If you've got faith, then you've got something to say. Amen? Zacharias was questioning God's ability to fulfill his own word. And so he's going to get a timeout for 9 months. When's the last time you've been in timeout? When's the last time you put your kids or your grandkids in timeout? Zacharias was going to be there for 9 months. Wow. Not able to speak. Now, for some of us, that'd be a blessing. If somebody got strict with muteness, all right? Wasn't able to speak. It'd be a lot quieter in our homes. Can I hear an amen, right? All right, verse 26. "And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee." Oh, we're going to move from Jerusalem to Nazareth. "Named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that are highly favored. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And I skipped a page, sorry. "Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." Boy, she was fearful and troubled when she saw the angel too. "And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." 6 months after Gabriel appears to Zacharias, he appears to Mary, tells her she's been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, the deliverer, Jesus. His name was to be Jesus, which means Savior. God had never forgotten his promise to send the deliverer. He loved the whole world. He wanted sinners to be delivered from the punishment that they deserve. Mary was also troubled. But I tell you, when the supernatural touches the natural, it always creates fear. That's what happened. Look at verse 32. He shall be great. Can I hear an amen right there? Is Jesus great? And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary's son would be her son, but also the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. There's only one God, but God in three persons who are equal in every way. Can you say it with me? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God chose Mary to be the mother of the deliverer. The deliverer who was God the Son had to come down from heaven to be born on this earth. Mary's son would be both God and man. He was to be king over Israel forever. One day he's going to return and establish his righteous kingdom right here on the earth. We preached about it on Wednesday night. The millennial kingdom. Look at verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary was the first to question the virgin birth. A lot of people just cannot accept it. She was the first one to question this. How in the world can this be? She knew what would happen. She just didn't know how it would happen. In other words, she believed the promise, but boy, she didn't understand the performance of the miracle and what God was going to do. Look at verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The angel said that God, the Holy Spirit, would perform the miracle. Mary is not bringing a sinner into the world. He is holy. He would be sinless. No descendant of Adam is holy or righteous. Y'all realize that? Every person in the world inherited Adam's sin. We're all sinners because Adam's sin was passed on to us. Y'all remember Romans 5:12? Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Well, Jesus' Father was God, who was holy, who was without sin. Therefore, Jesus is the perfect Son of God. Sinless. Sinless. He had to be sinless in order to be the Savior. Amen? That's how it happened. Look at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. Now we're getting back to the first story. The angel's telling Mary about Elizabeth and John the Baptist. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, say it with me, ready? Nothing shall be impossible. Hey, it's impossible for a virgin to have a child. Not with God. Right? Hey, it's impossible for Elizabeth to have a child in her old age. She's too old to have children. But my God can do anything. God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. Wow. You say, man, that's impossible. Not with God. He can do that too. He can give life to every person. Nothing is too difficult for my God. You say, preacher, you don't understand. The situation I'm in is impossible. My husband will never change. We're never going to get out of debt. My loved one's never going to be saved. Just fill in the blank. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your trial that you're facing right now, I'm here to tell you today, with God, all things are possible. I want to clarify, there's nothing impossible with God when He has determined to do it. Listen. He will not necessarily do all the impossible things that we ask of Him. Many people use this verse to cover up the fact that they're asking something for selfish reason. You ever done that? We pray for our own desires. Does that mean God's going to answer our prayers because with Him all things are possible? No, that doesn't mean that God's going to do everything we want Him to do, because there are some things that are not included in His plan. Many times we're not praying, we're not believing according to His will. So that's why we need to walk so closely to the Lord, be led by His Spirit, and then we're praying for the right things and we're getting our prayers answered. We're seeing God do the impossible. Look at verse 38, finally. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. This verse just shows Mary's submission to God's will. She trusted in the Lord. She accepted it, accepted the will of God for her life, for her to be the mother of our Savior. And I spoke about Mary last week. In her life, I just see that she experienced the grace of God. She believed the Word of God. Therefore, she could be used by the Spirit to accomplish the will of God. Did you get that? We need to do the same, y'all. How many have experienced the grace of God? All right? How many believe the Word of God? Well, then you're in line to be used by the Spirit to fulfill the will of God. That's as simple as it is. She belonged totally to the Lord. Look at verse 38. Just speaks of her body being totally committed to God. God, if that's what you want to do with my body, use it. All right, look at verse 46. My soul, her soul was committed to the Lord. We went over this last week. My soul doth magnify the Lord. All right, look at verse 47. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Isn't that amazing? Body, soul, and spirit. Every one of us is made up of a body, soul, and spirit. And all I'm telling you is she had committed totally to the Lord in all three areas. And boy, that's a wonderful example for us to follow. No matter how dark the day, God's always had His devoted, His obedient people. In this story, we've seen Zacharias and Elizabeth, and we've seen Mary. God answers prayer. With God, all things are possible. Jesus is not just a man, He is God. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced the grace of God. I believe the Word of God. And I want to be in a position in my life where I can accomplish the will of God. But you have to totally belong to the Lord in body, soul, and spirit. Just like Mary. I'm glad God is the author of a story that results in bringing hope to this old dark world. And if we'll call upon the name of Jesus, we can be eternally saved.